We've been in Sweden for 34 years now. And thanks to you and your prayers and your gifts are able to be there as your ambassadors for Christ. I like what the pastor prayed on your behalf, because that's what we feel. We're there on your behalf to share Christ with these lost souls. And there are so many people in Sweden who are lost and without Christ. We're going to share the presentation here this morning, but I need to know when we need to, when our time is up. What, how late are we going to go here?
10:15.
Okay.
We can make it.
We'll see. Yeah, we'll make it, and we'll see if we can save some time for questions, because you'll probably have some questions when we're done. So this is where we live, Sweden, and on the west coast you see the city of Göteborg. That's how we say it in Swedish, Gothenburg in English. And if you click one more, you'll find out where it is.
Oops.
Yeah, there we go. Long, beautiful summers, but they're very short. The long day, the days are long, but there are not many of them. Then comes the long winter, and that means many, many days of darkness. So that's what we have in Sweden right now. In order to find each other in the night, in the darkness, we have to wear reflectors and burn a lot of candles. We have four children. Our oldest is Jonathan. He's a Chicago police officer.
Whoopsie.
Our second son is Daniel. He's an engineer in Chicago. And our only daughter is living in Sweden, married to a Swede. We had the privilege of discipling. They have two children. And our youngest, Anders, is a fourth-year medical school student at the Midwestern Medical School in Chicago. So welcome to Sweden. Go ahead.
Well, one of the first things we do, we ask you to take your shoes off. And then I probably will offer you a cinnamon roll. Bullar. They're called. But why did we go to Sweden?
Yeah, why would you send anybody to a country modern, advanced, good education, and so forth? Well, the answer is atheism. The belief that there is no God. And that's pretty prevalent in Sweden. And it's growing in America. This is now an older statistic, but what percentage of Americans would you say on a survey would declare themselves to be atheists? They would say, I am an atheist. Yeah, not as many as you might think. Really,
I want to have a guess here now. You should remember this.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, it's probably creeping up there, but
35% is the last one I have, but I don't have a new statistic. But it's not that great. It might be 13 now. Yeah, it's not just how many are atheists, but how many would actually say on a survey, declare that they are an atheist. In Sweden, different number. We're talking about, what would you guess?
80%?
Close, right in there.
He remembered.
85%.
Very good.
That's right, and they're probably actually more than actually say they are. How many believers? Nobody knows, only God, but possibly less than 1% of the population. True believers in Jesus. What does that mean? Well, that means potentially there are 99% of the population in the entire country that are on the way to hell without Christ. And to me, that defines a mission field. People who don't know Christ. And the results, you know, they're pretty obvious. And if you ask a Swede what their biggest problem is, they'll most often say loneliness. Loneliness. But it's hard for them to connect the dots between no faith in God and loneliness. But that is one of the direct results. So the cure, we know the cure. The cure is evangelism and keep clicking and discipleship and teaching the Word of God. So those are the kind of things that we're involved in, all three of those areas. One of we can think about it a little bit this way, that we're there to open their eyes. To help open their eyes, so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the domain of Satan to God. It's a dark country spiritually, and for the better part of the year, it's a dark country physically.
Mm-hmm. And one of the ways we do that, we continue to do that, we've been doing this for probably, I don't know, 15 years, is an evangelistic book table which is out in a very international area. You can see the Somali girls in the background. And he's there in the summer and also the winter. And you see the little boxes with all the flags? That's so if somebody goes by from Azerbaijan or something, oh, that's my flag! And then the materials in that box are in his language. So
this is Jose. He comes and helps us when we have the book table out at the annual carnival in our area. And he's from Latin America, so speaks fluent Spanish. And there are Spanish-speaking people that live around that area as well. It's kind of a pretty heavily immigrant populated area where we have our church. So there's lots of opportunities to reach people from all over the world.
Yeah. And then we reach out to our neighbors, try to find ways to love on them. And this is Marcus. He's a guy that, an atheist, that lives behind us. He and his, well, they're not married. People don't bother to get married in Sweden. And so, like, on our street of about 10 houses, John and I and the Mormons are the only ones that are married. Yeah. So, anyhow.
By the way, that's the reason why the Swedes who love to boast about this will tell you that their divorce statistics are much better than those in the United States. They never get married, so.
Yeah. But anyhow, John's been witnessing a lot to Marcus, well, both of us, and he'll see John outside and come out, follow him around, you know, and what is it you believe about this and that? And so he's totally open. And we prayed before these houses were built behind us, you know, God would put people there that could come to know him. And we'd love it if you pray for Marcus. Great guy. He's watching our house for us now while we're gone. And Jonas and Elizabeth are two neighbors we had. If you'll remember, our house burned down in 2010. And we lived in a little row house for 3.5 years. And they were our neighbors then. They're scientists, and they're both atheists also. But we built a bond, and now if we invite them, they will come to things at our house. They won't come to something at the church, but God gave us this relationship. You know, people in Sweden, maybe it takes 15 years to bring somebody to the Lord. Maybe 10, maybe. But if they're still open, we don't give up on anybody. And we see that will bring fruit. The guy on the far right is named Muhammad. And John formed a men's day out just to get him to know some more Christian men. You want to tell about this one?
Well, I wanted to give them an activity, you know, a fun thing to do that, you know, guys would like. So I took them on a trip to visit a formerly top secret Swedish Air Force military underground jet aircraft bunker during the Cold War. Nobody was supposed to know it even existed, but they had their top line jet aircraft parked underground there. And it's now been turned into a museum. So they have all these older model jet aircraft, and you can walk around and you can see them all. But they also have simulators for all these different model airplanes. So we got a chance to fly the planes in a simulator.
I'm just going to tell you, for interest's sake, our church is very international. The guy on the far left is from Lebanon, and then Serbia, Sweden, John, and Muhammad is from Saudi and Jordan. And he is
strong
a
Muslim.
He's a strong Muslim, but he's gone to one of John's courses on introduction to Christianity. He brings his Quran, his Bible, he compares, and John's teaching, he's sitting there, you know, he agrees with a lot of things. He does believe in God, and he believes God created the world, but he's a faithful Muslim. On Fridays, he's in the mosque.
If you pray for Muhammad, pray that God would open his eyes so he sees the difference between the God who is revealed in Scripture and the God who is revealed in the Quran. he tends to think that they're both the same God. They're just two different ways to worship him. The Christian God is just the Christians, just another name for Allah that Christians worship. So he would see me as a kind of a true worshiper, but not the best of all the best ways to do so, but an okay way. And he has the best way, which is Islam. So he doesn't see that these are two different, radically different messages about who God is and how he may be and must be worshipped.
And then we use all the holidays, inviting people over. We have different sort of things. This is a Thanksgiving. They don't have Thanksgiving, but we use it anyhow. And New Year's Eve and Midsummer. I was telling you, but this is the really biggest holiday in Sweden. And the girls come and decorate this pole that John builds every year with birch leaves and wildflowers. That's our house, by the way, after the fire, built back. And thankfully, we have a big front yard. So then they do the folk dancing, I should say. We have a fiddler and usually an accordion player, maybe a couple fiddlers, actually. And then that person teaches the newcomers how to do these folk dances and so forth. And we always start with sill, which is herring, and boiled potatoes.
I didn't like herring when we first moved to Sweden. But I had learned, so now we do.
And then we have the real cookout, you know, and we got about 6 or 7 grills going. And
now this is real food here, what you say?
And we generally have around 90 people come. We bought all these used tables that he repairs and so forth, and they have so much fun. Swedes normally have a flat affect, you know, they don't show a lot of expression, but you're going to see all these smiles at this party. So we see Christians as kind of, they get released to enjoy life, you know, and it's on their faces too. These are from Iraq. This is the first time they were at our home. But afterwards, they came up and said, they've been living in Sweden quite a few years.
Yeah.
I don't know, 8 years?
7, 8 years, yeah.
But they came up and said, this is the first time we've ever felt at home in Sweden. So this Midsummer Fest is used on many different levels. And this is interesting. You see the guy whose head is above the blonde lady?
He's holding a camera.
Yeah. And he's looking a little happy, but
looking. It's a little bit of a confused smile.
Yeah. And he's from Iran. And his cousin, who's a believer, one of my disciples, invited him, and he lives several cities, several hours south of us, and he's working on his PhD in physics, I think. Is it physics, John?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so he came, and halfway through, he can see, you know, somebody that's from the Middle East can recognize who's from Lebanon, who's from Iran, who's from Saudi. I can't, but they know, and they hear the accent and everything. So about halfway through the party, he goes, what is this place? I've never seen anything like it. All these people love each other. Well, they're supposed to hate each other. You know, the different Arabs, they don't take the refugees. They have to come up to Europe, you know. So they don't help each other out, but
he couldn't figure it out. All these people are getting along. They're having fun. They're loving on each other. So I gave him a ride home, and I told him, well, it's because of Jesus. Jesus in our heart changes us so that we can love each other no matter where we're from or what we speak. Let me just give you an example here. All right, we got a Swede here, and we got a Swede over there. This girl's from Estonia. She's from Poland. She's from Lebanon. He's from Montenegro. She's a Swede. He's from Iraq. Just give you an idea. Mm-hmm. Very international.
Yeah. And then at the end, we have the traditional dessert, which is strawberry tort. Then we have singing and praying, and people that have not seen anybody pray before, you know, are a little bit in shock too. And then John shares the gospel. But we also have used new believers to share their testimony. And actually that night that this fellow we told you about was there, we had a gal from Iran who had come to know Christ, and she gave her testimony, and that also blew him away. So this is just a group after church. We do tons of entertaining and counseling. These have been, this couple were both disciples of ours, but met some marriage problems along the way, and so we try to take care of our shepherd, our disciples, you know. Even if they move to different cities, we invite them back because there's no good church in that city. So we do a lot of traveling around the country for that reason. Anytime one of our kids is home, we use that as an excuse to have all the people from their age group over. And this is, I don't know if you have small groups in your church, do you? Okay. Well, we do too. And this is about half of our small group. And the woman on the far right is the mother to the gal to the left of me, the daughter, and they're from Iran, but we have baptized them and discipled them for a number of years. The rest are all Swedes. And then Carlene, well, for 10 years, we used to do youth ministry.
Among other things.
Yeah. And so we had a lot of, we started with, I think, three kids. The only Christian was our son. And it grew, but, you know, these were really unchurched young people. It grew to about 45 after those 10 years. But we had a nucleus then of fairly mature Christians. And Carlene was one of them on the right there. Then they moved to Stockholm. We try to visit them twice a year for a weekend. Or she just calls me and says, I want to come next week. Can you have me? And we just sit and study the Bible for 2 days.
She calls every week for at least an hour.
Yeah, so I have this ongoing mentoring relationship with her. But she was having trouble with her daughter, Demi. So she wanted to bring her to get to know me. So she did. And then we took Demi to our family church camp that we have every year. And we have a ropes course at the camp, and she was skeptical. See her in the front row there, pretty skeptical to the Bible teaching, but by the end of the week, she accepted Christ. And so she and her mother have this great, fun relationship now. And Carlene is married to Reda. He's from Egypt, and
he's a believer.
Yeah, and he has...
Loves Jesus.
He's a chef, and he had a lunch restaurant he started in a shopping center. And another Egyptian man went in with him to purchase another restaurant. And then that guy bailed on him. So they just called us a couple weeks ago, and they're maybe facing bankruptcy, going to lose their house. It's a bad situation, so they called for prayer. So if you think about, even if you don't remember their names, you know, he's worked so hard to build this up and learn Swedish and everything. Anita's one of my long-term disciples, and I love her dearly, and I've been involved in her life since she was a single gal, but now, as a married mother, I'm mentoring her for her ministries, which is really a fun thing to do. Lila was one of the first that came to know Christ when we moved to Gothenburg. But through the years, then, I led her daughter to Christ, and John led her father to Christ first, and then her mother, and then her son-in-law. So it's just like if you get an inroad into a family, that gives you more and more opportunities to reach the relatives. Nana is a long-term disciple of mine. When she was in high school, she was pretty depressed. Yeah, you know what that question mark.
We'll show you in a couple of pictures.
But she had a terrible situation. Her mother was, just really manipulative. She was the child. Her mother was the child, actually. And so she was insecure and depressed, and it took many years working with her. I used to go, when she was a young mother, I'd go over to her apartment. But now, what was it, 2 days before we left to come back. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody wants to come and see you. They find out you're going away for 6 months. You're trying to pack. And then
You're supposed to be cleaning your house for six months. Yeah. So with vacancy and packing. And
so anyhow, Nana wanted to come over. So I had her for a whole afternoon. And she spent the whole afternoon telling me about all the people she's witnessing to. Her boss, all these different people at work. And she is just on fire and happy and
it's bubbling with joy.
So this is like, we feel like we've been there a long time and we've been slugging it out, but we are in a reaping phase. Mm-hmm. So we don't want to quit. These relationships we've established, now they're reaching out and we got to back them up, because there's essentially no Christian radio. There's hardly any Christian books. Less than 1% of the people, believers, well, that doesn't, you don't notice that in the culture. It's so small, you know. Payoff is the guy that married my Anita, that I showed you. He was raised in a Christian home, left the faith, and lived with one woman after another, and just lived a typical Swedish life. And then when he was 40, he came back to the Lord. And that's when Anita met him. Oops.
You're pushing.
Getting ahead. And, after their first fight, serious fight, you know, he was already starting to divide up their belongings. Well, that's what how he'd been used to, you know. So this was the, we would go over to their house at 10:30 at night after the kids were asleep, 10:30 to 11:30. And I think it took us 6 or 7 times. All we did was Bible study on the permanence of marriage, God's plan for marriage as a lifetime commitment, one man, one woman, you know. Before the light went on to him, and he saw, okay, then I better start working on this. And they're doing a lot better, and John's been discipling him. But, you know, the culture, marriage is passé. That means that the family unit has already broken down. So people don't know who their grandparents are, what's my identity, you know. It adds to the problem of depression there. And now, what did I do, John? I am not. This thing needs some tape. It's falling apart.
I'll have you back off for a minute so I can redo this. Let's see here.
Sorry.
There we go. Okay. We get back on track.
If anybody has some scotch tape or something.
No. Right.
Yeah.
Side.
Okay.
There we go.
So John is the guy who's taking over our small group while we're gone, and he's just, oh, a great guy. Came to Christ as a young man. And Yuan is one that came to Christ in our youth ministry, and he was seriously depressed because his dad committed suicide. He came home and found him hanging, and he was about 10 at that time. So he and his brothers became school refusers.
Truants.
Well, they were put in a special school for children that wouldn't go to school. And
he didn't go to that either. So his mother called me in, and because he was really seriously depressed, and she said, "Could you talk to Yon?" I said, "Sure, he's home." She said, "So I said, I'll go over."
But the mother's not a believer.
She has to work. She's a single mom. So I went over and knocked on the door. You know, "Hey, Yon, it's John. Come on out. Let's talk." And nothing, no answer. Just dead silence. So I said, I know you're there. So can you please open the door and Let's just talk a little bit. Nothing. So after several attempts, I just sat down on the porch and waited. And about a half hour later, I went back and did the same thing. And then 15 minutes later, I did the same thing. And then another 15 minutes, I did the same thing. And finally, after about an hour and a half, the door slowly opens, you know. And I see a little bit of him behind the door. Got him to come out and start to talk. And, well, this happened on several occasions. And I just told him, you know, I'm going to keep banging on your door until you open. I'm sorry, I'm going to be just this persistent, but we need to talk, you know, and I'm not leaving until you open the door. And so finally, after so many repeated attempts, he just figured, well, I got to get this guy off my back. So he started talking. And, you know, showed him some sympathy and some understanding and tried to give him some hope. And other Christian kids in our youth ministry, by the way, kids in youth ministry is 14 to 30, so it's all the way up through young adults, were trying to encourage him. And he started coming to youth group and finally accepted Christ. And he started going back to school, a little hesitantly at first, then more regularly. Finally finished his high school.
It took him 6 years to finish that three-year.
And behold, he applies to the university, got accepted to study as, guess what? A teacher. And while he's studying there, he met another young lady that was studying to be a teacher. They fell in love, got married, moved to her hometown, which is in south central Sweden, real close to where we have our annual summer family Bible camp. And so now he comes over when we're there at Bible camp, just kind of to...
He just wants to show us himself. Here I am. Look at me.
Well, what I want you to see, look at the smile. So that is the transforming power of Jesus in a person's life. That is not anything human. That is supernatural.
I think we worked with Yuan for 6 years before we really saw progress. So slow going. This is George. This is John's first guy that he taught seminary level courses to. And we think George is the best Bible teacher in Sweden. But he's got serious health problems. Kidney and liver, degenerative hereditary disease. But George just keeps going. I think he will die in the pulpit.
It's constant pain.
And
one of the last times I called him, I said, well, have the wild horses been able to drag you out of the pulpit yet? Wait, silence, and finally got what I was, you know, the joke I was trying to make. And he kind of chuckled. And, oh, no.
But we really need George. He's John's accountability group, you know. I mean, we'd love for you to pray for George, too. And I don't usually tell this, but he has a wife.
This is not public information.
Yeah, but you'll never, I don't think, have any contact. But she was severely abused from the age of 2. She doesn't know how to show love. He gets no sympathy there. And in fact, he just gets derided. He reminds us of Hosea in the Bible. Mm-hmm. He just keeps going. We have so much admiration and respect for George. And sometimes when he gets released from the hospital, they assume he'll get care because he's married. Mm-hmm. So they don't do anything. So John picks him up and brings him home to us, and I care for him. So, okay, this is Michelle. He's a Christian leader in Sweden, but they also are having marriage problems now. And so John drives 2 hours up, and he comes 2 hours down to meet him. You know, you can't find Christian counselors there either. So this is a different ministry that maybe you remember I've had for a while, but I'm still doing this. I train gals in natural childbirth, if that's how they want to give birth. And it's a way to get close to them at a very important time of their life.
Remember that question mark?
This is a little filled. No.
That's who it was.
Yeah. So these are just some of the results, but it's given me a real in their lives. Now these two, we actually had dinner for them every week when they would come for class for 10 weeks because he's the brother of one of our disciples. But Jürgen is still an atheist. Ning is still a Buddhist.
She's from Thailand.
Yeah. And there's the baby. You can see how old. So, I mean, we haven't had a breakthrough there yet, but we're not giving up. Then we do this Valentine's couples banquet. Can you understand why, with all these marriage problems, we need to take them in as a group? And we have a real fancy three-course meal. I also have another table down this part of our house. So when we rebuilt our house, we had to build it on the same foundation. But we reorganized so we'd have more
open space
for tables for this party. Yeah. And they don't have celebrate Valentine's Day there, but we brought it in. And in between the courses, oh, I did it again. Sorry, Emma.
It's okay. I'll fix it.
I think you need to fire me.
No, I'm not going to fire you. No chance.
So now I have helpers, servers. This is so great because I used to make all the food, then I had to serve it, and then do part of the teaching, you know. And now it's just luxury. So he welcomes everybody, and oh, I've learned how to do these floral arrangements myself now, and they don't want to miss this, but it's just reminding them to prioritize their marriage, to continue working on their relationships. And then we ask them to respond to the teaching. How are they going to put this into their own situations? And then they continue that at home. These are just some of the couples. We love them so much. Oh, I'm going to tell you about Magdalena and Martin. Well, we taught waiting for sex till marriage. And the reputation about us, you know, this is so shocking that we would teach such a thing. And
in Sweden?
Yeah. And nobody else that we knew of in the whole country was teaching this. We didn't even get any support from the Christian parents.
At first.
Yeah. Now we have. But Magdalena was engaged to Martin, who's a pediatrician. And she's a social worker. She actually started a little orphanage in India. So they're mature people. But they came to us and they said, we want you to hold us accountable for not having sex till we're married. So we want you to check on us every Sunday at church.
So we did.
But I mean, you know, we've never been asked to do such a thing.
Reminded your P's and Q's.
But they are so wise to do something like that.
Isn't that wise?
And
really, really wise.
And then this beautiful couple, 2 weeks after they were married, she discovered that he was addicted to porn. And so it was just devastating. But John works with men on this kind of situation, too. I don't know if anybody remembers when he did a men's retreat here one weekend.
That was a long time ago.
That was in 90 or 91. Anyhow, and Emil decided he won.
Well, he had to make some radical life changes, and he did. He woke up. He realized, you know, this can't continue. It's ruining, if it hasn't already ruined, my marriage, and my only hope is to get accountable and to change patterns in my life. So we worked through those and we identified them. He made the commitment, he made the change, and got him linked up with a couple other guys to be accountable. And
so anyhow, they'd survive.
Changed everything. It allowed their marriage to survive, and now they have a beautiful little daughter. And I'm going to tell you, I have to say this because it's so cute. We go to church. It's not a big church, you know. It's a little bit bigger than this, but They're both real musically gifted, and they're active in our church, especially in that kind of ministry with golf times. So one will be in the front, the other one will be in the back. And I'll be over here at some other part of the church, and I'm kind of watching just to see if they make any eye contact with them. I'll see them looking at each other across the church. They don't know anybody else is looking at them. And I see the smiles and the winks. It's just such a delightful thing to see their love blossoming.
Yeah.
And God's gracious deliverance of their marriage.
This is Maria and Yera, who both came to know the Lord in our youth ministry and found each other. And they're very active in evangelism and the Sunday school ministry. And they have three little boys under seven. And he was just... Oh, and he's also starting to do some preaching in the church, maybe once a semester. And he just was diagnosed with multiple myeloma. I don't know if you know what that is, but that's fatal. Nobody's ever been cured of that. And it's really shook up the church. But this is how he still looks.
I would describe his attitude today with two words. Thankfulness and joyfulness.
So,
the Lord is just, and he depends on the Lord every day. And God gives him joy. God gives him thankfulness.
Well,
he spreads that to our church. And he's very active in the young kids' Sunday school. Loves little kids. You know, they've got kids. He's a dad with sons. And he just spreads this joy and this faith to our kids, even though they don't know anything about what he's struggling with. They just know this is a neat guy.
I want to tell about when he was a teenager and we had him. We were doing a retreat once, and I had to carry up all the canoe paddles up this hill to the truck, and it was just about killing me. I asked Yera and Simon if they would help me carry that. No.
I was carrying a canoe, so I couldn't.
And I was so sad and thinking, you know, what are we doing? It's ungrateful. And then about 2 years later, he was 17, we had another retreat. Who volunteers to clean the toilets?
Well, I will.
Yeah,
he says. A teenage boy, 17-year-old boy volunteering to clean the heads.
So... I was in the kitchen cleaning, and I could hear him singing praises to the Lord and scrubbing those toilets. And we just could see God had changed his life. You know, it was real now. And so we go a long way back with Yera, and we'd love you to pray for him, too. Here's Mohammed with his family.
Can't really spend any time.
I can't tell you about him.
Maybe I should take that now.
Yeah, okay.
We've been doing premarital counseling. This is a really fun ministry because you get a chance to build into the couple's lives before they have problems, and you can steer them towards the wise counsel of God's Word in relationships before the problems even have a chance to get started. So we've been involved in a couple of weddings here in the last year. Emily and Aaron, she's a gynecologist, he's an engineer, and just have so much fun helping these kids, which I guess I have the right to call them now, prepare for a life together. Preaching and teaching is also a real important part of my ministry, and I do a lot of the preaching in church, not all of it, but a lot of it. We do not own a building, we don't have any paid staff. So we meet, we rent a community center, and the second floor there's a large hall where we meet. This is a picture of our worship service in progress. So you can get an idea. We're growing. Actually, there was a Christian newsletter in the country that one time called us a few years ago, that one of the 10 fastest growing churches in Sweden. We read that, we all laughed because we thought, well, we're just a little group, you know. We're not making really waves in terms of the whole country of Sweden. But It's a Swedish ministry, so all of the ministries in Swedish. Some of the songs occasionally are in English, but otherwise mostly in Swedish. All the preaching and teaching is in Swedish. But there are a lot of immigrants, and they don't all speak really good Swedish yet. So we have always in the back of the church, we have little groups. You know, one little group is translating to Arabic, another one to Persian, another one to Polish, or whatever else it might be, English, if we have visitors that only speak English. And then afterwards, we have church coffee. And it's one of the things that draws Swedes to our church is the amazing fellowship that they see, experience. They see, you know, all these people loving each other, not only in church, but after church. Håkan and Jakob are our two pastor elders. I am not the leader of the church. I don't call myself the pastor, but I help these guys to be able to continue to be the pastors. We wanted to have a Swedish front, not an American front. It's not an American church. It's a Swedish church. So I help from underneath to make it possible so they can continue. So they have to work. Håkan is now full-time disabled. But he pours every minute he can into preparing, and though he's in constant pain, sharing the Word of God through his deep spirituality and knowledge of the Word. So I love these guys. We have the only thing we have access to during the week is an apartment that we rent and have for years, and we kind of knocked out all the walls so that we just one big room. So we have room for prayer meetings and small seminars and church meetings and so forth. Occasionally I go to eastern Romania and teach in a Bible school there, and oftentimes take a young Swedish guy with me as kind of a introduction to missions experience. Love to teach the Romanian people and preach in their churches through translators like my friend Constantine. Because they're so eager, they're really wanting to know what does God say, grow in the Word. And a few years ago, we started the ministry of CEF.
You know what CEF is? Child Evangelism Fellowship. Sweden and Iceland were the only countries in Europe didn't have it.
Eastern Europe or Western Europe. So it just took a long time to get a thing going. And
actually, the Swedish Christians that there are...
A lot of Swedish Christians.
They don't believe in telling children that they're sinners. You know, there's no discipline in Sweden, and therefore they were resistant to this type of thing.
Okay. So we're both on the board. I serve as president, have since the very beginning. We kind of helped them get started. This is a couple of things that we've been able to produce just in the last year or two. Martin Luther video for last year's 500-year anniversary of the Reformation in Europe is still available on YouTube. So if you go and do a YouTube search or a Google search on Martin Luther video, this is one of the ones that will come up.
But this picture isn't
the right picture.
We couldn't figure out how to get that picture on our PowerPoint, but it's a Technon cartoon.
Here's the guy that did it. Did almost all of the animation and did all the voices. If you go see that video, it's 11 and a half minutes long. It was produced by CEF Sweden and Fish Pond Entertainment, which is his company. It's a great.
It's been translated
witness.
Into German and shown in all the German public schools because it was the anniversary of Luther.
So we started with some clubs and holiday Bible clubs and different venues. And now just this last year, we've rented an office. So we now have a permanent office location, and we have two full-time workers already. One, Judith, is a gal from Germany who is a CEF worker now in Sweden, and Rebecca is a Swede. And she's our full-time literature coordinator. A couple of things that we've been able to produce. We had nothing. We had no material. And so everything has either had to be translated and reprinted from English to Swedish or just done from scratch. This is the first year of what will be a four-year Sunday school curriculum produced by CEF. We represent CEF at Christian conferences. There's one coming up in 1 week, next Saturday and Sunday, Friday, Saturday and Sunday, there will be a Christian Children's Workers Conference where we will co-sponsor.
And our daughter is going to be teaching one of the seminars there.
This is a little booklet on the bottom. Is Meet the King, which if you are familiar with CEF in English, is called Möt Kungen in Swedish. These are little children's devotional booklets, one booklet for every month. It's designed for 30 days of, and every time you open a page, that's like one day's devotional for kids with little activities and Bible verses to learn and prayers. So great materials, and we've been able to ship these out by the thousands to churches and individuals all over Sweden. This is 75,000 Jesus DVDs for children.
For free. We don't charge anything.
Yeah. This is Jesus DVDs, the children's version, and Meet the King evangelistic booklets.
Put them together.
Sent out to 75,000 homes to their home address through the Swedish Postal Office that we got information on.
They gave us all the addresses of the families that had children between 6 and 10.
Occasionally I have opportunity.
We'll never get that again. But we got
to teach the CEF leaders. And just a little over a year ago, we praised God for new team leaders that have joined. Robert and Mia are Swedes. And they've come on as halftime CEF team leaders with a view towards becoming national directors. We're not calling them that yet, but we're hoping that they will be able to get their support raised so that they can become full-time, eventually, national directors for the work of CEF in Sweden.
He's an elder in his church, a great guy, and they also have a little Christian school.
We don't have time to talk about that. Chris says, I'm going to just flash through these because we took so much time talking to you about other people. Chris has a surprising new ministry with Iranian women. How many now?
Eight
Iranian women. Fariba was an abused wife who came to Christ. Sherry and Layla have been...
They're our translators.
They're our translators. They came to Christ a long time ago, have been in our church for a long time. This girl in the white is Shakila, and she came to Christ through meeting some Christians, and I baptized her. Chris teaching Bible studies with some of these Iranian gals. This is Shakila at her baptism giving her testimony. And one of the other gals that was in the audience was also from Iran. And this is the blonde, second from the right. And she came to know Christ as her Savior. And so we got a chance and a privilege to disciple her for about 8 months and then baptized her.
Can I tell about
and
her?
Now, in the summertime.
Oh, jeez.
We have our baptisms outside. These are all exciting stories. This I will give you a chance to talk about briefly.
Okay.
So the blonde is Layla. That's her name from Iran.
Layla's husband in Iran. Layla's husband was killed in a car wreck. She had a 9-year-old boy, and she started working as a cleaning lady to a Catholic woman. You can be Catholic there if you're born into it. So she started asking the woman about Jesus. She said, "Why don't you come to my church?" Well, her dead husband's father had spies at the church who took a picture of her in this church. So he said to her then, "I'm starting court proceedings. I'm taking the boy, raising him a good Muslim. You'll be thrown out on the streets." And then some people gave her money, and she has literally escaped from Iran with her son.
Illegally.
Yeah, she came to Sweden illegally and is living with her one of her brothers that already lived in Sweden. And if Layla is denied residency in Sweden...
If she's sent home.
She'll be killed then because she's what she's done.
And she just got a letter about 2 weeks before we came back to the States.
Denying her residency.
Denying her application for residency.
They didn't believe she'd become a Christian. And we know that this woman is a believer. And
there are a lot of immigrants that come to Sweden and claim to become Christians in order to improve their chances to be able to stay and get a permanent residency visa, but her conversion is genuine.
We discipled them for about 10 months before we baptized them. And during that period, she said, we didn't even work on this, but she said to John and I one day, I have forgiven my father-in-law. You know, to take the only thing she had left.
That was the most precious thing in her whole life.
Yeah.
Who's going to kidnap her son, take her son?
And
she might not have ever been able to even see him again.
And Shaquilla, her mother, who came to Sweden with her, was shacking up with an Iranian guy.
You can't tell the story. She's so worried. She came to us the night before we left Sweden in tears.
She's losing hunks
she's
of hair.
She's losing patches of hair. And she went to the doctor in Sweden, and he said stress. It's stress.
And she's 22.
She heard about Layla being denied, and she's waiting on a result herself.
And this man has called the Iranian authorities and told them that she's converted. So
we'd really like you to pray for the two Iranian ladies that need to be able to stay in Sweden.
Yeah.
So just the Sunday before we left, there was a little prayer gathering at the back of the church. So there's Chris, and there's, I think, Sherry. This is Layla and another guy praying for her situation. I came up to her at church. It was the first Sunday after I heard about what had happened. And I was very upset. I'm still upset. And she could see. She was seated. I walked up to her. I said, Layla, I'm so sorry you got this rejection from the Swedish immigration officials. And she could see there was worry, right? Worry and frustration all written all over my face. She's sitting there. She looks up at me with a smile, gently says to her disciple or teacher, preacher, Bible teacher, but John, I am Jesus. Please pray for them.
She's going to have an appeal when we get back to Sweden, and we're going to be allowed to testify for her. So there's
Shaquilla the night before we left. Over 9 million souls, approaching 10 million people now in Sweden. And the question is, who is going to tell them about Jesus and the wonderful, wonderful love of God? So the Lord of the Harvest is asking us to pray for new workers for Sweden. Meanwhile, we thank you for praying for us, serving with Cross World on Mission Board.
Sorry,
God
we used up all
guys.
The time.
No, we used up all our time.
No time for questions.
You have to buttonhole us after the service.
Yeah.
Thank you. God bless you.